interesting about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when he said that there's no place to go to Tovah inside, that they actually went outside. Was that...
What are we talking about here?
When you went...
going through Shaar Tadi? No.
Yes. So
that's not what he's not... he's not failing on that. He's just saying that you did not come back in.
Well, we didn't understand.
The area was not underneath the... The only reason to make it underneath the Bira is because you're planning on coming back up. So according to him, you don't come back up at all.
How do you get out?
There must have been a... No.
They locked up.
Stay underground until it opens. He's not chaylik on that.
So he's just going to wait for the morning.
Yeah.
And then he snuck out early in the morning.
Instead of going back up.
Yeah, there's no going back up. There's no indication that he's chaylik on the other issues here. All right, gentlemen, now we get to some of our other shitas. Of course, Barnea is not here, but he was so concerned yesterday with the maps. So now we'll get on to that. You can give us a zarka, hey, look.
Mishnah.
There we go. Today we're holding on Daf Lamed Hey, Perek Sheni Mishnah Gimel in the arrangement that appears here. And we had just walked into the Har HaBayit, and we were talking about the need to walk around, that you were makif, and that was the indication if someone was makif in the other direction, that something had happened to him, either avilut or he was in cherem, and so on. And now we're continuing to walk straight ahead. Lifnim mimenu soreg. Inside of that was a soreg. Are you guys okay? A soreg was basically what we use sort of like for the chatzitza, the mechitza. You know, it's...
Segregated.
What?
Like the word segregated comes from there?
Oh, that's interesting. Somewhat related. Oh, that's cute. But anyway, it's so what you use for, you know, like trellises or for a place where you could see through. This was a very low wall that was the indication that goyim can proceed no further. This is where the signs were in Greek that have been recovered. And the Greeks did not like that sign, I can assure you. And how do I know they did not like that sign? It's not conjecture. They got really uptight about those signs. You can see that they didn't like those signs because they broke the soreg in 13 different places in order to indicate that the Beit HaMikdash is open to Greeks. And keneged those 13 places, which of course Chazur v'Gidrum, they rebuilt the soreg as soon as Hanukkah was finished. Way around today, they were busy rebuilding the soreg. The Gazru Kindegdan Yud Gimel Ishtachavayot, and as a memory of what it was that the Greeks had done, and a memory of the victory of Hanukkah, so they were gozer 13 different Ishtachavayot, as we'll see later on. Actually, it was a machlokas, it was connected that, it was a mandiram, it was connected to Sharim. But in any event, there was an Indian of Yud Gimel Ishtachavayot. We find also Yud Gimel Britot, which is very Nogea, Yavan, Brit, Yosef, Tzadik, and so on, connected Yavan, adds the Tzadik to Yavan, Sametzion, there you go. And therefore, we have a constant memory of this event. Lifnim mimenu hachel. Inside, beyond the soreg, was the chel. The chel was eser amot. Now, almost everyone learns that eser amot is basically the width of the chel. The chel being an open area, which was a protective area, so that there was, it's like we use today, behind a security fence, you have an open area where you have a clear view. The Rambam learns, this is completely off. Well, this is supposed to be showing the cell between the soreg tenabas and the stairs, which is a mistake, because the stairs were part of the cell. As we'll see.
Is a picture here?
Let me see here. This is probably a picture. Eh? But in any event, here they have the same awful thing. They just took it and shrunk it. Let's have a better one. No, they have a... This uses, they're all using the same idea here, which is wrong. Here is the right one. Here we go. In the painting, they show it correctly. The Surig. And then behind the Surig, immediately, almost immediately, start the stairs, because the stairs took up 6 to 10 hours, as we'll see. See? Here's the Surig, the low wall.
Okay.
And then start these stairs, which they start the stairs at the end, as if the stairs are part of the Azura, but the stairs are not part of the Azura, they're actually part of the Chel, so I don't know where that comes from.
So he's made out of stone?
Or? Yeah, yeah. The thing is that the Rambam learns that Eser Amos is the height of the Chel, in which case it was obviously a security wall, and not just a blank area. But almost everyone else learns it like this picture. Thank you so much, dear President. So we have Ted Amos, and we're talking about here throughout this parak, unless we learn like the Rambam here, but throughout the parak we are discussing the length or width of the area, and basically the whole parak. The parak began with the Chomesh Meas Ama, Chomesh Meas Ama. And now it's going to take us in, walk in. Okay, how much space is there now in front of you? As you get closer to the Azura, where each piece of space was well defined, we define more and more what was in every Amma of the space. So now we're inside of the Choma, we're up to the Soreg, we go behind the Soreg, we have 10 Ammas to walk. In those 10 Amos, we also reach 12 stairs. Ushneim asar ma'alot hayusham, urum ma'ala chatsiyama v'shilcha chatsiyama. Each stair, standard stair, in the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, we'll see there's one place where it's not standard, but the standard stair was a half amma high and a half amma wide, the stair. In other words, deep, the stair. Kol ha'ma'alot shayusham. Rum ma'ala chatsiyama v'shilcha chatsiyama. Chutz v'shel ulam, except for the stairs leading up to the porch. Ve'echol is what's in. Kol ha'ptachim shayusham. Once we're on that topic, the standard gate that we're talking about over here, the doorways, were 20 amos high, 10 amos wide. Whew. That is a rather considerable doorway. Well, you're talking about, the height over here of the... Closer to 30 feet, yeah. That's your
8 meters.
Yeah, 8 to 10 meters, I mean, depending on what sheet you hold of the armor. High. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. That's huge. Chutz Mishel Ulam, again, the petach of the Ulam was double that, as we'll see. And it was 20 amas wide and 40 amas high. Kol ha'ptachim shayu sham, furthermore, all the gateways, the entryways, had doors. Ayulahem delatot. Chutz Mishel Ulam, the Ulam, of course, was enormous. You're talking about 20 by 40 in height, where over there it had a parochet letzniut, as we've discussed. Kol ha'sharim shayu sham ha'yulahem shkufot. Furthermore, all of the gateways that we were talking about were made with a mashkof. So it was a square-shaped gateway. Chutz mishal tadi, except for shar tadi, where there were shayu sham shtei avanim mototzo agavizo, where instead the top of shar tadi was a triangle, because it had two stones that were somech one on the other, which, by the way, there's another girsa. Wherever Shar Tadi comes up, it's written with a resh, which the Tiferes Yisrael claims means the tri-gate. Because there's a triangle. The top of the gate was a triangle.
So like two next to each other?
Two falling on each other. Here they have a picture here. It's somewhere. I remember seeing a picture of the Shar Tadi. Here we go. Here. See, right, this would be looking from the inside, going out through Shar Tadi. Mm-hmm. On the top, it was triangular.
It is such a path away from Bayit Sheni, and the entrance to the home is kind of triangular stones, like a hallway.
I didn't say two triangles. That was the Da Vinci Codes. It's two triangles. We're talking about the Holy Temple, not the Holy Grail. So, okay. Furthermore, more about the general dinim of the Ptachi. Kol ha-sha'arim sha'yusham nishtanu liyot shel zahav. All of the gates ultimately were gold-plated when there was sufficient money to do so in later years. Except for Sha'ar Nikanor. Remember that Sha'ar Nikanor was the eastern gate into the Azara proper. And the reason why Sha'ar Nikanor was not plated with gold is mipnei she'na'aseh behem nes. In order to keep the chashivut of the original Sha'arei Nikanor, which was the famous story of Nikanor who had been sent to Alexandria to get these gates. The Gemara in Erechin, you'll recall, spoke about a number of different things where Umanim from Alexandria were called to be metaken things in the Beit HaMikdash. One of the things they ordered in Alexandria were these gates. And the Gemara speaks of how it was that when they loaded these gates on a ship, and they were shipping it back from Alexandria to Eretz Yisrael, and an enormous storm came, and they decided they were throwing, the sailors decided to throw the gates, and the gates weighed them, God knows how much, and the ship didn't look like it was going to survive, so they threw one of them into the water, and Nikanor refused to allow them to throw the other one in unless they throw him with it. And at that moment, the storm stopped, and they were able to continue, and he was absolutely beside himself that he hadn't done that initially, and he had allowed them to throw the first gate in. And as they pulled into Yafo, the other gate pops up, which had been underneath the boat. So they decided that they're not going to change.
Did he not follow their instructions? It sounds like circular reasoning. Because if they ordered it, they should have ordered to be gold.
They couldn't afford gold. That's what it says, Chozulia. They changed it.
That was going to be
initially, remember, initially the menorah was made out of tin also. I mean, they couldn't afford it. It was gradually improved. The whole base of Mishnah was gradually improved. You'll see later on the inside of the Heichal as well was changed to be covered with gold. But it took a long time to get the funds. Remember, the original version of the second base of Mikdash was so horrific that everybody burst into tears that had seen the original by it. So some say it was because of that miracle that they didn't want to change Sha'ar Nikanor v'Yeshomrim. Others say mipnei shenechushtan matziv. One of the glories of the Alexandrian construction was that the bronze was absolutely beautiful. It shined like gold and didn't tarnish, and so they decided they would keep it. Sorry?
It wasn't Anivus.
It wasn't called Aniyut B'Makom HaShirut, yeah. V'chol HaKtalim Shayusham, furthermore, generally every single kotel was a govoa, very, in other words, there were sharim, but the gate itself was a small part of the height of the actual wall, except for one location. Chutz mikotel ha-mizrachi, the wall, which was the wall near Sha'ar Shushan, and you remember that Sha'ar Shushan was the entry gate from the east into the Har HaBayit, and that Sha'ar, although the Sha'ar was the typical height, 20 amas high, the actual wall in which it was embedded was lower in that area for one very special reason. Because the Kohen, HaSorefet HaPara, Omeid Barosh Har HaMishcha, he was standing on Har HaZitim, Umitkaven V'roeh B'Pitcho Shel Heichal B'Shat HaZayat HaDam. The Torah tells us that he has to be Zorek, the Dam of the Pora, towards the Heichal, Nochav. Nochav, we understand to mean, actually in view of the Heichal. Now the problem is this, the actual Har, of the Har HaBayit continuing up till the point of the Kodesh HaKadoshim keeps getting higher. So that the point of entry at the Sha'ar Shushan is actually at 22 amas lower than the point at which you enter into the Heichal. Which means that if the Kohen is standing on Har HaZitim, his view is blocked as he tries to look through Shar Shushan, which is only 20 amos high, 20 amos high gets him beneath the opening to the Heichal. He's looking at the under part of the Ulam through the top of the gate. He can't see the Heichal. So what he has to do is he has to look over the gate, which is begins two amas, the Pisra Shel Heichal begins 22 amas above where the ground level was at the entrance to the eastern side. So that means that the 20 amas hits 2 amas. Yeah, but this is ridiculous. Yeah, I'll explain to you why it's ridiculous. But what happened over here is that the Kohen, who is Omed, has to look over the entire wall. When he looks over the wall, he can't be blocked from the Pisra Shel Heichal. So they have to make the wall a bit lower over here to accommodate his vision. Now what they did in this picture, which is why it makes no sense, is they have, first of all the walls on a lower level, and then they put this watchtower on either side, almost as if Lahachis, to have to make a little space in between it, which is actually the height of the rest of the wall, which is not the point. Now, the whole idea of it was that this was a unique area that was lower than everywhere else, besides which they have the Kohen standing at a level that allows them to see. You'll notice, you draw a straight line, allows them to see Pisra Shel Heichal very easily. He seems to have enough space over there for another 40 on the side. So it's a little bit of a misleading picture, but anyway, besides which, exactly why he's holding his torch and waving it towards the Heichal is also a little bit... He's supposed to be doing this.
Harizesim was higher than that.
No. Today, as the there's a beautiful Shabbos Mizmor that says, Elohim Yitain Bamidbar Har, right? Hadash Shita Barosh Dinar. So the Brisker Rav says, the part of the Churban is the sinking of the Harabayit. That it has simply, in reference to the area around it, has gotten lower. Everyone understands that through the sinking because of the structures underneath that were destroyed, whatever. But in any event, Yitain Bamidbar Har means to restore it to its former proper glory.
So Har Zeisim then was lower than Har Abayis.
Well, the Har Abayit, we're talking about the lowest part of Har Abayit. It continued to go up another 32 amas from there.
Yeah. Har Abayit went up, so it ended up being
At 22 amas.
So he was standing in Har Zeisim. So
he was standing on Har Zeisim, so he would be blocked by the...
Har Abayit went up above.
No, he could look straight across, but if the wall was built, then it would block his view of the door to the Heichal. He had to see into the Heichal. That was the problem here. What are you showing me?
There's a view from the Turkish wall in Shaar HaRachmim looking towards Har Zeisim.
Oh, in Shaar HaRachmim. Oh, so there's a number of things that Rav Barnea is showing us. First of all, a triangular gate similar to Shaar Tadi, which is very interesting, which looks like it right out of the picture. And furthermore, the view to Har HaZeitim from the lowest gate, which would have been the equivalent height of Shaar Shushan. So you can see exactly what the problem is. In other words, if the Kohen is standing here...
There's a wall that will cover it.
Yeah. So if the Kohen was standing by Har HaZeitim, then he would be blocked by the top of the Sharim. So you can actually see it in today's terms. That's what it looks like. Thank you very much. That was very helpful indeed. Yeah, continues the mission. Ezra Tanashim. Now we have entered into the Azara proper, but not the inner Azara, which is the one we've been talking about all along here with the Chamesh Orim and so on, Shaar Nikna. That was the actual Azara, which was a square. Here we're talking about the Ezra Nashim, which is, as you can see in this drawing here, the area in front of the Azara. And it was called the Ezrat Nashim because that was the place where, at the time, the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the Nashim would be on Dot Milamal, and so on. We could watch the dancing. And that was, that's not really the reason, but that's how it's taken. It was Orech Mea V'Shloshim V'Chamesh Aroch Mea Shloshim V'Chamesh. So here you had an actual square, a perfect square, 135, and that was the width of the entire Azara. So in other words, the rest of the Azara was also 135, except that the main Azara was 187 long, so it wasn't a perfect square. But here we have 135 by 135. Arba'a l'shakot ayuba arba mikta'otea shel arba'im arba'im ama. You'll notice that in the corners you have four l'shakot. Each one of them is 40 by 40. V'lo hayu mikurot, they were not covered. V'kach hem atidim liyot, and that's the way it will be in the Mikdash HaShlishi. This was one of the things that was understandable in Yechezkel and was duplicated from Yechezkel. Shnemar v'yotzieni el ha-chatzer ha-chitzona, v'yavireni el arba'at miktzoe ha-chatzer, v'ne chatzar b'miktzoe ha-chatzer, etc., etc. So there was in each miktzoe ha-chatzer another chatzer. In other words, there was a lishka that was open, so it's called a chatzer, inside the open chatzer of the Ezrat Nashim itself. And this is Barba'am, Mikzot HaChatzer. That means these were these Chatzerot, Kitturot, says the Pasuk. That's right. Those Kitturot, the word Kitturot in Kitturot Elo She'inan Mikorot. What it means is no roofing. So that we call it Mikutar because the smoke would actually go directly out through the roof. There was a fire in there. And we'll see in some of these places we might have needed to build a fire. By the way, one of the curious things are that if we really were basing it on Yechezkel, the measurements that are given Yechezkel are not 40 by 40, but 30 by 40 for these chatzirot. So that has to be. But of course, the whole Ezrat Nashim in Yechezkel is shaped completely differently because it surrounds the Ezrat Yisrael instead of being outside the way it is in the second Beit HaMikdash. That's Nikevat Sovev Gever, as it says in the Pasuk. The woman will surround the men.
This is not seen. I mean, the ladies went there freely?
Yes. Normally, nobody would go into the area of the Azara proper past the Yud Alav Amis of the Azara, as we'll see, unless they had business. So the business that a male would have would be for Smicha. Problem is that Nashim really don't have to be samchot. So machlok is whether they could be samchot. So what would they be doing there? Because of the pressure of the women's lib movement at that time, oh seriously, the Gemara describes that they had to be matir than smicha doing like this. They were very insulted that they weren't doing smicha. So there was a Sha'ar Nashim that was at the edge of the actual Azara, as we'll see, one of the Sha'arim of the Azara. And that's where women would come in to at least they insisted on being Amen. If everybody's dancing around with the Sifrei Torah, they shouldn't be Amen. I'll get Amen. So that's where they at least stood there or they did smicha there. Okay, I hear the giggles and sniggers out there in the Ezrat Nashim. You can't hide from me. Uh oh. Doesn't sound like giggles and sniggers, it sounds like mad. Getting dangerously silent in there. They must be plotting. I'll have you know that my friend over here has 7 years of martial arts under his belt. So watch out. Now what were these four lishakot? Dromit Mizrachit. Let's take your little maps. Let's just get ourselves positioned over here. We are facing towards the Heichal. Let's hold it like that. I gave them each a map before they came. We walked in here into the gateway, into the Ezrat Nashim on the east. We're facing Shar Nikanor. We are facing the west because we came in from the east. To our right, we have the Tzad Tzafon. To our left, we have the Tzad Daron, correct? Just to position yourself over here. You just came in from the Shar HaZeitim edge. You're facing towards us right here. So that you have the north on your right. So here begins the Mishnah to go through the four Lishakot. Ma Yumisham showed what was the point. Dromit Mizrachit. Now obviously since you're coming into the Mizrach, this is the one that's closest to you. It's on Tzad Daron, so it's to your left. And what was there? The Dromit Mizrachit was used for the Nazirim. And it was called the Lishkata Nazirim. Sheshama Nazirim Evashlim et Shalmehem. Well, here's one good reason to have smoke coming through the top. That was a place where the Nazirim remembered that one of the special halachas of the Shavi'el Nazir, which is a Korban Shlomi, was that the hair of the Nazir at the time of his Giluach was put mitachat ladud, and the actual cooking was done there in the Azara. So they were Megaleach at Saharanu Bishalchem etachat hadud, and there was the place where this was done.
Over the steps here in this picture? Or?
What steps?
I'm whatever sure. This yellow here, line is. Here.
What yellow line?
In the Azar. Yellow line right.
You're not in the Azar, you're in the Azar's Nashim. What did you do? What did you run ahead into the Azara for? You're standing at the gate of the Azar's Nashim now. You've got a long, long way to go to get into the Azara. They don't go into the Azara. And now the next one is Mizrachit Zvonit. On your right-hand side is the Lishkat HaItzim. That's where they had the wood checked. Sheshama Kohanim Ba'alei Mumin, Kohanim who were unable to do the Avoda, would spend their time being Matli'im HaItzim. They would check over the wood that was going to be put on the Mizbeach for worms. The Cholei Chidim Tzibot Tolat Pasumi Agavei HaMizbeach, the wood couldn't have a mum either. And if it had a worm in it, it was worm-eaten wood, was not roy from the Mizbeach, and it was thrown out. And that was the Lishka to your right on the Tzafon Mizrach side. The next one, it's from Nit Maravit. You now continue to walk in, you're going towards the west, and now again, to your left, to your right rather, on the Tzafon side, you have the Lishkata Metzoraim. There was a mikveh there, as you can see in your map, a little mikveh in the corner over here. And do you have a map there? Oh, you have a map. So there, the Mitzoraim, we made sure that they went once again to the mikveh, although they could come and claim that they had gone to the mikveh when it was time for their insertion of their thumbs into Biyam Shar Nitno, in order to have the dam from their own Luchusre Kapora carbonus that would be brought on them, the Asha Mitzera, on that day. However, we were Mechayev them to go once again to the mikveh in front of us, and that was the Lishkata Mitzorayim, and then from there they would go to have the dam put on their Etzvaot Yadayim Raglayim.
Is it the same mikveh here for men and women that wear Mitzorayim?
Oh, nasty, nasty, but yes.
And where was the blood put on there?
On Shar Nitno.
On Shar Nitno.
Yeah. So then we had one additional Lishka that we haven't explained. And believe it or not, the reason we haven't explained it is because the author of our Mishnah, as we saw before, was the first Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and he forgot. So Lishkat Amaravit Dromit to your left, Amar Rebbe Elazar. Why is this Rebbe Elazar ben Azari? Sorry. It was the first Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Shachakti Ba'aita Mishamari. I don't remember. Can't remember what that Lishka was. Abba Shoah says, I remember. Shama Yunotni Miyayin Veshemen V'yayta Nikrit Lishkat Ben Beit Shamnaya. That was the place where they stored the wine and the Shemen, which were in constant use for the Nisachim. And it was called the Lishka of Beit Shamnaya. V'chalakaita Berosha. Originally, the entire area of the Ezrat Nashim was smooth, but they in the end they surrounded it with a porch-like affair, a gezustra, and that shows up, I think, probably in the picture here. Here. Mm-hmm. So the entire area is surrounded by a portico. On top of the portico, there is their yitziah, which was a stadium-like affair where people could sit and watch what was going on. She'anashim ro'ot milamalan v'anashim milamatan kidei shelo yu mu'urabim. In order to prevent mixing of the sexes, they had the women on top, the men on the bottom during the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, and that was the Tikkun Gadol that was made in order to the destruction of the Yetzer on Sukkot.
This is only the outside part of the is this Nashim or the whole?
No, like in the picture, it's all around.
Oh, all
around. So it's all around.
This.
Not like this one.
What's that one?
This leading is rub. It doesn't have anything here.
This. Yeah, it's possible. It's
this. But during the regular day, there would be men and women in this room.
Sure.
Oh, there's a structure on the ground here underneath these pillars. Is that it? When it says not smooth, it means not smooth sideways or not smooth underneath? It's on the ground they made.
No, the wall. There was originally nothing there. It was the Harabayas that had the large portico around it. The Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alot Olot Mitulcha LaEzrat Yisrael. Now the Ezrat Yisrael was 7.5 amos higher than the Ezrat Nashim, and therefore you needed 15 stairs of Chatzi Ama, each one. And these 15 Ma'alot, you'll notice them very pretty, the 15 stairs, are like arranged in a semicircle, not straight, and that was how you got up from the Ezras Nashim to Shar Nikno. And those Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alot were connected Chamesh Yisrei Ma'alot Shabbat Tehillim. We have 15 Shira Ma'alot, or Shira Ma'alot, in Tehillim, and each one of them is the equivalent of one of these stairs. She'alayim alavim omdim ve'omrim Shira. The Levim at the time, this is not Shira that was being said on the Korbonas, because on the Korbonas we would say the Shira on the Duchan inside of the Ezrat Yisrael, as we'll see beyond the Ezrat Yisrael. However, when there was singing, like in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, where over there you also had a tremendous amount of music and so on, but that was outside, Levim would stand there. And then we had Loha Yutrutot. These were not straight stairs. Elo Mukafot Kechatzi Goren Agula. These stairs were curved into a semicircle, like a Goren Agula. We always use the semicircle vision as being like half of a Goren, where they would use the threshing floor and go around in a circle. So half of that was called a Chatzi Goren. Lishakot Ayutachat Ezrat Yisrael, Tuchat Ezrat Nashim, Shisham Alavim Dotnim, Akinorot, Develim, Mitzotayim, Bechol Klei Shir. Now, you had, remember, 7.5 amos of wall in front of you if you weren't at the actual stairs. So that means that there was plenty of room to have lockers built into the wall, under the wall structure, from the inside of the Ezrat Nashim. And they would extend underneath the Ezrat Yisrael. In there, they would keep the various musical instruments. Ezrat Yisrael hayta orach mea ama u'shloshim v'chamesh, haroch av achad esrei. Now, of course, everything was 135 wide, because that's how wide the entire structure was. So starting from the beginning of Ezrat Nashim, where we had 135 by 135, here we have 135 by 11. So it was 135 wide, 11 amos long, and this was the area in which was okay for Yisrael to be standing in the actual Azorah. V'chein Ezrat Kohanim, an area which was then for the Kohanim before the Mizbeach, was also Me'ah 35 amot, Arocha v'chadesrei amah. And to distinguish between the Ezrat Yisrael and the Ezrat Kohanim, you had Roshei Pispisim, again, the same thing that we had in the Beit HaMoked, which according to some actually means a Psipas, according to others just means the beams, edges of beams, to make it clear where the division line is. Mavdil bin Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, there's no need for that, because there was a Ma'alah Haita, which was a very tall stair of a full amah. And on top of that stair, there was the Duchan for the Levim. And the Duchan itself, the Duchan itself had three levels. Each level was a half an amah above the level beneath it, which means that basically between the Ezrat Kohanim and the Ezrat Yisrael, you had 2.5 amahs difference in height. And because of that, it's not easy to make a mistake and simply walk from one to the other. And so, Nimtza Ezrat HaKohanim Gavoa Me'Ezrat Yisrael Shtei Amot V'Mechza. Now the
is made out of stone, like big tiles, so to speak, since they couldn't have a stone one long.
Kol ha'azarah hayta orech 187 arochav 135. The entire azarah from the entryway at Shar Niknor all the way to the other side was, again, obviously it was 135 wide, but it was 187 long. Remember that those are cups. That cups protecting it. It's a Kuf Pei Zion. So easy to remember. You had there Yud Gimel Ishtachavayot Ayusham. There were 13 Mekobas that they were Koveya to be Mishtachavet. Now, as we said before, that was Keneged, the Pirtzot that the Yevanim had made, which were being repaired on this very day, some years ago. And exactly. Now, here is where Barnea is finally going to reach his thirsty, solution to his thirst anyway, by the Shita of Abba Yossi ben Hanan, because Abba Yossi ben Hanan says the Yud Gimel Ishtachavoyot were actually Keneged the Yud Gimel Sha'arim. Now, last we heard there were either 5 Sha'arim to the Azara, or 7 Sha'arim to the Azara, or 8 Sha'arim to the Azara, feel like the Rav Yomer and Tommy. Here is Rav Abba Yossi ben Hanan, who says there were 13 Sha'arim. And what are the 13 Sha'arim? This was why you had 13 Ishtachavayot, each one Keneged a Sha'ar. The Dromim, the ones on the south, and this is what we saw earlier, where we had 4 in the south instead of 3 as listed in the omission in the first parak. That was going to Rabbi Yossi ben Chanan, who now explains the Shita. So the ones on the south side all were closer to the west than they were to the east. The closest starting from the west was the Sha'ar Ha'elyon, which we completely ignored before because we were going according to the Man D'Amar Ruhot Shiva Sha'arim, and we didn't count the Sha'ar Ha'elyon as a Sha'ar. It's not to say it didn't exist according to him, but it wasn't ingress and egress from the Azor. It was, you know, it could have been decorative as a Sha'ar. Rav Abba Yossi lists this as a Sha'ar. So this was the uppermost gate, because this was the highest point in the Har HaBayit, vis-a-vis the Azara. So this Sha'ar would be the highest gate on that side. And then you had the Sha'ar HaDelek, which we spoke about. That was where we brought in fuel. The Sha'ar HaBechorot, which we spoke about, because that was where the Korbanot would come in that were Kachim Kalim, and therefore they could be on the southern side. To distinguish them, this is not, the picture here is not going, unless that's a Sha'ar, if that's a Sha'ar, then that Sha'ar all the way in the corner, if you hold it up to everybody, that Sha'ar would be the Sha'ar HaElyon. Yeah, point to that, there you go. On the southern side.
The only chance to be the
corner. Right? To distinguish it from the Sha'ar HaKorban, which was the way we refer to the Korbanos of Kachi Kachim that were coming in on the northern side, because they had to have Shechita B'Tzafein, we called the Beferes the symbol of Kachim Kalim on the southern side. But any Kachim Kalim would come in through there. And then you had also the Sha'ar HaMayim, the Lama Nikra Sha'ar HaMayim, Shabod Machnisim Tzluchit Shalmayim Shalisuch B'Chag, as we explained in the first parak. And again, as we explained in the first parak, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omer, Bo Hamayim Mefakim Va'atidim Liot Yotzim Mitachat Miftan Habayit. That is the place where the water is going to come out after it comes from under the Miftan of the Bayit, as Yecheskel describes it. He calls them Mayim Mefakim, so you have these bubbling waters that grow and grow and grow. That water will exit from the Azara through that gate. Then you had exactly the same thing, according to Rabbi Yossi, to Abba Yossi ben Chanan, you had exactly the same thing on the northern side. So you had Kinegdam, Lu'umatam Betzafon. Again, you had on the northern side, starting from Smuchim L'Maharav, which was connected to Sha'ar HaElyon. You had now the Sha'ar Yechanyahu, Sha'ar HaKorban, and this was Korbanot of Kachi Kadashim, Sha'ar HaNashim, where the women would come to do smicha on Kachi Kachim, or to stand there if you hold they didn't do smicha, Sha'ar HaShir, and the Mokom of the Shira. Lomanik Rishmo Shar Yechanyo. Why did we call the westernmost gate Shar Yechanyo? Shebo Yatsa Yechanya Begaluto. That is the place where Yechanyo, before departing to Bavel, came to say goodbye to the Beit HaMikdash, went into that gate and left. And so on, to remember that horrific day, we called it Shar Yechanyo. Shebe Mizrach Shar Niknor, on the east, you have Shar Niknor, which we already know about, but Rabbi Yossi is counting Shar Niknor as three separate gates, because he's including the Pishpishim. The Shnei Pishpishim, Ayalo, Echad Miyamino, Echad Mismalo, so he includes this because they're not built into the Shar itself as it was in the Shar Beit HaMoked. So here the Pishpish is to the either side, that is another three gates. And then you had two gates in the west which were barely used because nobody, I mean, that was a very small area between the western wall and the Azora. And then Lo Yalem Shem didn't have any particular name, but those were the west walls, and they appear over there in your map as numbers Lamentes to two Lamentes, which is called Shar Katans.
Where are the Pishpishin?
The Pishpishin are right here on either side, in these two holes here. Or as you saw in the picture, we have a nice paint. Where's the little paintings there? We had the paintings of it yesterday, I think. Somewhere. What page was that on? How were they? What?
Top two.
No. Shar Niknor. There was a picture of Shar Niknor with the Pishpishim. It wasn't a very good
one
picture.
One page before, the model.
This one.
Yeah, there it is, yeah. Here we go. So here is Shar Niknor, with these stairs, the round stairs going up. And on either side, you have those two small gates, which are, he's counting as part of the Yud Gimel. So we can now account for the differences between the Imam de Omar, who said before Sheva Sharim, and according to him, who says 13. Hadron Aloch Har...
Can we do some show and tell for me? Get this stuff. So does that
one. Okay, it's show and tell time, boys. Go to it.
This is underground, under Shai Rachamim. It might be an earlier...
I'm wearing my reading glasses. I'll look at it later.
Okay, so this is an earlier gate at the bottom of Shai Rachamim.
Could
and
it
for
be
those,
the Shara...
That's the suggestion. Yeah. Then they have a whole page showing you closed gates that nobody knows about, right? Some of them which are not exactly Shai Rachamim. This one is closer to Kippah and Sela, etc. Okay, so that's
closed in the sense you can make out the Surah of the Pesach there, you mean? Or?
It's closed, it, yeah, it's yes. An opening, and it's just shut.
It.
What do you mean nobody knows about? You mean nobody took a camera there ever?
It's not talked about. Right? It's not, the scholars know, but people don't realize
like
it's
upstairs,
there.
Like upstairs,
here.
What is underground?
On all sides.
Some of them are. With you.
But there's a few there underneath.
Some of them are below ground.
You go to the
tunnel. That's
the west.
No.
Shahuda, the three. That's like it. This is Yeklav. This is Yeklav at Shahuda.
What they call Shahuda. I'm saying the original Shahuda.
But you can see there was on the old stones and then filled in with
gold.
Oh.
This is the Shahuda. Here, the Shah Kafu is what they
are.
Those
steps that lead up to where the southern gate that we have now, are they the Amba and Fula?
No, those are Dafka. Those steps are not in Arabai. The Dafka is made, the theory is that they're made to prevent people from running up the stairs. Each step is made separately, different sizes, so that you can't get into a rhythm.
He just says
very interesting. They're different, so you can't run. So one of the theories is that in order to have people behaving with dignity, they didn't know. It's pretty frightening to see all those stairs ahead of you. You sort of want to get up to speed.
Anyway, here's a view. One is a view from southeast, the one from southwest. Right, you can get these in a much larger size. But just this discussion, these gates that you see are gates that we have, and here are the gates in the south that we have with staircases. And this one is the Korban
note that Rebbe is saying was attached to the was used as the chotamot for birds, right? It says korban with two birds on it. Right, it's going the right way. This is a view on, behind the southern gates inside. Right.
So that would be similar to the Achsadra.
Yeah, similar to the Achsadra, or like the talking about Shari Chulda and going being low and then going up steps to the higher level, starting from down below.
But it's still there. It looks like that today. That's
yeah.
It's
based on what that. We're looking at one more.
Of course, it never was every step.
Shari Chulda. The one to the left. That's the Shar. When you go there.
This is showing, based on the fragment that we have, this is showing the lintel, the straight mashkof, but the mashkof had like a wedge, and then a little bit of arch over it sitting on top.
Interesting.
There's more. I sold.
So the wedge is basically used to just decorative. Doesn't actually support.
Which, the lintel?
This is supporting.
So it says it has it, like the Mishnah says, it's a straight lintel.
Right. And then a relief arch above it.
Right, which you also see in the Kosam Arabi in the corner of the woman's davening area.
What they call
Sharkifonis. Right. You see the corner.
I
want to
say it's Sharkifonis, right?
It's too low to be Sharkifonis.
Why? It's
underground.
That's just the top of the shark. It goes all the way down.
I'm saying, but it's Sharkifonis wasn't underground.
Oh, but
I would put it under fill.
I'm confused.
Now behind the shark, behind that area is fill dirt. Was always filtered at the time of.
No, we were above ground. We're standing much higher at the hotel today than 2,000 years ago.
Even so, it's still not on the level of the ground. It's still on the level of fill. Where we stand at the Kotel Maravi is well under the surface level of Arabayan.
Correct.
So how could there be Sharkifunas there?
It wouldn't go in and up.
Why would it? I mean, why? There was always a Sharkifunas before, you know, I mean, before the Har Chavav, the Har. It certainly wasn't an underground gate. All right. Okay, and is that it? Or do you have more to show us?
I'm showing you here a water channel, but there's a similar channel going under the southern gates where you can see the places
right.
of the torches. He doesn't have the picture here. This is a little bit Shaloka Indian, but just fascinating. This is the corner, the southeast corner of the wall. This is what we see above ground, and the Arab graves are starting over here. Look how much deeper it is. Warren dug a century ago to the bottom.
Wow.
It's running so far below under the road. And they found the fragment, which they timed it that this word is the kingim, and that there's a passageway having something to do with the Besdin, the Sanhedrin. I think it's a little bit of guesswork, but they did find this early writing here on the passageway.
How deep is the shaft, Warren shaft?
80 feet down.
80 feet
down.
Oh my God.
Solid foundations.
It's not foundations. That's
crazy. But that's the bottom. There must be some foundations.
Not foundations. No, that's the thing. It's real wall.
Bedrock, right. It's real wall.
It's when you look down, you go to the people down in the tunnel, and you look down, that's what you're talking about?
No, this is on the. That's where they dig down. That's what is that?
The Roman,
the tunnel. That's Wilson. And this is.
That's
this
is so much more than.
What's his name? This guy Robinson.
This one, Warren.
Warren.
Rabbi, I saw the stone this week at the Israel Museum about the.
The Greeks.
Yeah, in Greek, do not go beyond the sword.
Yeah.
It's just a small fragment in the Israel Museum. The whole one is in the Rockefeller Museum.
And
one of the whole ones.
One of the whole ones, exactly.
Yeah. The one that says that you're not allowed. It's in Greek. The one that says you're dead. Hadron alach harabayit. You should walk around the harabayit. Hamizbeach hayah 32. Let's try that again. Hamizbeach. Getting now, we've gotten up the Mizbeach, remember? Because we've gotten past the first 22 Amos, which is 11 Amos of the Ezras Yisrael, 11 Amos of the Ezras Kayanim, and now we are holding at the Mizbeach. Okay, now the Mizbeach, you take a look again on your maps, and you can see how we're holding at the Mizbeach. In a way we're not, because you'll notice that there's only one Amo width that actually hits the 11 Amma line, which is in a slightly different color. You see the lighter color? The lighter color is the edge of the Ezrat Kohanim. So there's 22 Ammas here, but actually there's 23 Ammas, except for that little piece of Yesod that is sticking out to your right, which is towards the Tzafon of the Mizbeah. Correct? You all see that. Now we're counting the 22 Amos until the Yesod. Because in our mind, the Yesod is there. We just removed it. The reason we removed it is because it ends up being still in the Chelek of Yehuda, as I explained to you. And we don't allow Yehuda to drink blood. There it is. Not into that. It's only the Binyamin who is the Zev Yitraf. He gets the Dam. And the Chelek of Binyamin begins at that point. So how did we make a Mizbeach? We start with Shloshim Ishtayim HaShloshim Ishtayim. Let's imagine that we're building the Mizbeach, because this is the way that we take this Mishnah in Zvachim, and we talk about building it. So we take now a mold, 32 amas by 32 amas wide. We fill that with stone, molten lead, and so on, until it hardens, and we're left with a piece of 32 amas by 32 amas. Now, in truth, we didn't do that because we stuck in two pieces of wood along the line that would allow the structure to be the way it is here. So in other words, we took off one ama all along this side of the Dorum and all along the side of the Mizrach. According to Moshe, it's all along the side. But technically speaking, we're talking about 32 amas. Fill it up. It's one ama high. Ola ama, v'kanas ama, you go in an ama all around the square. And now you make another mold, which is the Yesod. It's called the Yesod HaMizbeach. And nimtzet shloshim ha-shloshim. Because you took an ama off of all sides, you now have a 30 by 30 square, which is five amas high. Ola chamesh, five amas high. V'kanas ama, you go in one ama. Now this area is called the Sovev, because as opposed to the Yesod, which did not go Sovev, it didn't go all around, as we just pointed out, this actually went all around. You have one ama area where you can walk on around the middle of the Mizbeach. You're now six amas high. You were one ama up from the Yesod, another five amas up to the Sovev. So you're above the midpoint of the Mizbeach by one ama, because the midpoint of Mizbeach is at the five ama mark. The midpoint, as we'll see, was marked by color, but not by binyan. So this is the Sovev, and that means that you're left with Esrim Veshmone, al Esrim Veshmone. Since we took off of the Shloshim one ama from either side, we are now at the actual Mizbeach, which is going to be where we're going to be walking on top. There's 28 amas by 28 amas. Now, on the
colored stone that was colored stone. They didn't color it.
No, it was colored. It was sikra, chuta sikra.
But it was colored not out of. But not the stone was not a color. It was
no.
Red color.
No, the red color was put on it. And then we okay. Here's a nice picture. You can get all the size, the sizes. So we started off with that one. We're now one ama above the Kuta Sikra. We have that one ama in, which is called Sove. We have 28 amas by 28 amas, but then we have one ama by an ama on each corner is the Makoma Kranot, so it's actually one cubic ama. So it's an ama high, an ama wide, and an ama long on each corner, which means you couldn't really walk along that area because you'd bump into the Kranot. And this, in total, means that up to the top of the Keren you have 10 amas, right, starting from the floor. And nimtza, which means that you have to take off one ama. The Rambam says we don't bother in the Mishnah mentioning the height, because everybody knows the height, since it never changed. Because in the Midbar, it was the same thing, it was 10 amas. Shlomo built 10 amas. In the first base of Mikdash, and in the second base of Mikdash, even when we added, it was always the same height, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't even mention it. The thing that kept changing was the measurement of the width and length of the square of the Mizbeach, in other words. But the height was always the same.
The height to the top of the
Keren? To the top of the Keren was always 10 amas. So you're left now, if you take off the Kranot, which is one ama on either side, and you only have 28 left, that means that you've only got now 26 by 26 And this is three amas high above the Sovev, remember, up to the bottom of the Karen. And that is called now another ama we took off for Makom Hiluch Raglei HaKohanim Ama Mizeh V'Ama Mizeh. We had the walking area in which the Kohanim could walk without bumping into a Karen, and taking off another two amas square, an ama square all around, in other words, we're left with Nimtza Esrim V'Arba Esrim V'Arba Mokom Amaracha. All that's left for burning purposes is 24 amas by 24 amas. Omer Rabbi Yosi Mitchila Lo Ayala Esrim Shmona Esrim Shmona. Actually, before they expanded this in the second Beis Hamikdash, the original measurements on the floor were only 28 by 28, not 32 by 32. So you've got to take off basically four amas from that. And the same Koneis Fa'ola B'midazu, we use the same measurements of going in and going up. So that means, according to the original measurements, the Makom HaMaracha was only Esrim al Esrim. Now, the reason for this was a halachic reason. The original sheet, that's very interesting, because we changed the halacha. We developed an understanding of the nature of the Mizbeach. Originally, the Mizbach Adama was darshan to mean that it has to be Atum to Adama. So it's just like a golem, completely sealed. So it's Adama. Therefore, since it was known, the Mokom of the Shittim was known, and that's the place where the Nesachim and the Dam and so on, that is its chibur to the Adama, you couldn't cover that area, because you had to let things run down the side into the Shittim. However, then they darshan later, Kishalu b'nei Agola, that Ad Mizbach Adama only means Mechubar el Adama. And therefore, it wasn't necessary that it be holy Adama, and they left in it, therefore, a hollow, so that if you poured the Nesachim up on top, they would still come out, run down through the Mizbeach into the Shittim, and therefore they were able to expand the area of the Mizbeach over the place where before they couldn't. So, Kisha'alu b'nei Agola hosifu alav arba amot, Minatzafon varba amot minamarav. Now the place that they added was southwest. Kamin gam. In other words, they made it like a gamma, like a Greek gamma. Of course, obviously it ended up being a square. The final result is you didn't see where the gamma was. But the direction was towards the Binyamin side and not towards the Yehuda side. Kamin gamma. Shenemar v'ha'ariel yud beit orev. Beyud Beit Rochav. Now it says over there in Yecheskel that the Ariel itself, which is the top of the Mizbeach, was 12 by 12 Ravua. Now, you might think that that means literally 12 by 12. Yochol She'enu Ela Yud Beit Al Yud Beit. You might think it's only literally 12 by 12. Impossible. Because the pasuk continues to say Al Arba'at Riva'av. On all four corners it was 12 by 12. Which actually means it was a square of 24 by 24 with four parts that were 12 by 12 in it.
Why does it make 48?
12 and 12 is 24.
Yeah. 24.
We're talking about squares here. Malamik shemina emtza hayamodeid, 12 amala chol ruach. You could count any direction 12. That's what 12 by 12 means. From the center. And then, and that's the end now of the comment of the change that was made. V'chut shel sikra, getting back now to the Mizbeach, v'chut shel sikra chogro be'emtza, la'avil bein adamim el'yonim, lit damim atachtonim. There was a red line, which was one ama beneath the feet of a kohen who was standing on the sovev. Remember, because it was halfway up, is five amos. And that line was to make it clear where you could put damim that belonged l'mala. And what were the damim that belonged l'mala? Let's see if you remember. Who's ready to put their head on the line? Ola Sa'ov, there you go. The Ola Sa'ov. What else?
And the Chatas
Behema. The Chatas Behema. It had to be just the opposite of the Ola Sa'ov. Chatas Sa'ov went down. The Chatas Behema. Okay. So the Ola Sa'ov and the Chatas. V'chutcho sikra l'avda ben adam v'ayesod haya mahalek al pnei kol ha-tzafon v'al pnei kol ha-ma'arav v'ochel b'darom ha-ma'achat u'b'mizrach ha-ma'achat. Now the yesod, because of the way that we put something in the way of the mold to make sure that there was no yesod, the yesod only, if you can take a look at your maps, the yesod went along the entire side that faced the Heichal, so the entire western side, and the entire side that faced Tzafon, which was the Mokom, the Shechit of Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, there was only one Amah of Yesod that could be counted along the 32 Amahs of the ground, where Yesod was supposed to be, along the eastern side, and as you can see it, it sticks out one Amah. And same thing was true in the south. There was no Yesod that made the turn in the south. You only had the Amah of Yesod that took up one Amah of the 32 imaginary Amahs. So one of the 32 Amahs that I don't see them, but they're meant to be there, that was Yesod on the south, and that was the only Yesod on the south. That Yesod covered the area where the Domim of the Shiraim were actually taken into the ground, and there too there were two small holes, as we'll see later on. I think they have a picture. Two Nikavim, well, maybe not. Yes, there is right here. Right here, it's a pretty awful picture, but there you go. There's the one arm of Yesod sticking out with the two Nikavim in it for the absorption of the Dam of Shmicha Shirayim. What they've done over here is they've opened up the Tabla of Shayish to take out the wine that is Koresh and so on from the Shita.
Oh,
that's cute.
It's
nice. Oh, that's nice. I like that because you get a sense of the size of it. Yeah. They have a Kohen in Shofesh Shirayim there. You see that tiny Kohen there. You get a real sense of the size of it as well. You know, we're used to think of his bear with this little.
10 Amos in total.
So yeah, you're talking about. It's basically two stories high. I mean, you're standing at the bottom of his bear. Look at this two story building.
And it was all solid. It was
all solid except for the area of the sheeting. Yeah. Yeah.
So when it says that they cast 32 by 32 Amos, they're saying they really didn't.
Right. It doesn't say here that they cast in the Moran Zerachim. It says they cast, but they put something in it. Malbane in it.
To hold.
And what about the holes?
To keep it from filling in one Amos. So the Yisod ended up being built without.
It ends up looking like a yin yang.
Yin yang.
Yin yang.
I don't know, it's got the yin going a lot over the yang. I mean, it's a little imbalanced there.
But ochel means it just.
What time are we going to. Ochel means and takes up from that. Uses up in that direction. Well, it's somewhere just the opposite. That it was missing that area. But almost everyone would say, the way I just explained it. Rabosai, what time shall we meet? Mitzvah Shabbos?
Early.
Early? Okay, how early?